This is Night Call, the first and only nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tonight's subject, the migrant farm workers and the national table grape boycott. Tonight's guest, union organizer Cesar Chavez. Night Call is your program. Share your opinions and ideas with the rest of the country. Speak for yourself and ask your questions directly by calling Night Call in New York City from anywhere in North America. Here are Night Call special phone numbers. From the East and Midwest, call collect at area code 212-749-3311. From the West at 212-749-3357. And from the New York area at 866-5010. Now from New York City, Night Call's host, Del Shield.
Good evening. The farm worker is America's forgotten man. He is not protected by health and pension plans, receives no unemployment insurance or workman's compensation when he is injured on the job, and he's excluded from most minimum wage legislation. A migrant farm worker's average earnings in California are $1,800 a year. His life expectancy is 49 years. These facts have been dramatically demonstrated by the Delano grape strike that began in 1965 when the United Farm Workers Organizing Committee, the UFWOC, sought union recognition for migrant farm workers employed by California's table grape growers. UFWOC leadership was, and still is, in the hands of nonviolent Cesar Chavez, a Mexican-American who has been a migrant field worker himself. 41-year-old Cesar Chavez brought national attention to the plight of the migrant worker when he organized a national boycott of California table grapes. And the grievances of those who work in the grape fields have helped to illustrate the pathetic plight of migrant workers all over the country. Somewhere in the conscience of America is the answer to the migrant farm workers' problems. Cesar Chavez believes the best route to an answer is through the union. Mr. Chavez is standing by in California to answer your questions. Mr. Chavez, good evening, sir.
How are you, Mr. Shields?
Fine, thank you, and thank you for being with us.
My pleasure.
Mr. Chavez, just what do the migrant workers of this country want?
Well, I would say that they want equality. They want to be recognized as workers. They want to have the same protections that other workers have in this country, mainly the guarantees and the protection of the laws that exist to protect their rights to collective bargaining. I think that they want to naturally get ahead. They want to become a total part of the community, and above everything else, I'm sure that they want to improve their economic condition. They feel that the union is the best instrument to do it.
Well, what are some of the problems facing the migrant farmers in America?
The migrant farm workers. Well, I think that the basic problem is one of non-organization. They're not organized so that they can deal with their employers as equals, so that they can bargain collectively and thereby be able to then bring about the recognition and the benefits that they need so that they can continue, so that they can make a living. See, migrancy in itself is not that bad, because I'm sure there are other workers in America who are even more migrant than the farm workers. Migrants, it becomes especially bad when he has to take his family all over the country, living from hand to mouth, following the crops just in order to stay alive. But you have a seaman as an example. A seaman is very migrant, goes all over the world, but he's got good pay, and he says his family's taken care of while he's away. And he's got a union, and he's got those protections that the farm worker doesn't have. And I can name another group of workers who are very migrant themselves, but who have protections, and that's the main difference.
The nationwide boycott which you have instituted, is this a legal boycott?
It is a legal boycott. We were forced to do this primarily because the employers have refused for the last 38 months to even meet with us to discuss the of union recognition. They have even refused to meet with us to discuss the whole question of permitting the workers or giving the workers the right to determine by a vote whether they want a union or not. Since we're not covered under the National Labor Relations Act, there's no way in the world in which we can get them to honor or to give the workers the right to that vote. Now, if we were covered under the National Labor Relations Act, then by law, we would have that right. And then the strike would have been solved, I'm sure, one way or the other, many, many months ago. The position we find ourselves in at this point is that we not only do not have the law to protect us, but we're at a disadvantage because in some instances, the same law that prohibits us, that does not give us the protection that other workers have, has also come into force in some places, into play, to prohibit us from some of the illegal activities that we're conducting. For instance, last year, the National Labor Relations Board, on three separate occasions, refused to order the employers to have an election. And their refusal was based on what they called their non-jurisdiction over farm workers. But when we started...
We have lost contact temporarily with Mr. Chavez. Mr. Cesar Chavez, who was calling in from California, and we'll put in our call once again and see if we can get him back on the line. In the meantime, remember that Night Call is your program, and our conversation tonight is the migrant farm workers and the National Table Grape Boycott. And our guest tonight calling in from California is Mr. Cesar Chavez. As soon as we can make contact once again with Mr. Chavez, we will be talking about the dollar product. Is he back with us? All right. Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
I'm sorry, sir. We lost you temporarily.
We're having some strong winds out here tonight. This may be the cause.
Oh, well, New York just had its had a little spell of that yesterday and the day before.
I see.
Right. How large an industry is the grape industry out in California, sir?
Well,
terms of dollars.
In terms of dollars, this is just an estimate on my part. I think it's something like a quarter of $1 million, a little more on fresh grape. But if you take all the grape, which would be wine and raisin and fresh, I would assume that this would be pretty near a $1 billion crop in California. It's the fifth largest crop in the state, I believe.
So therefore, we're talking about a rather large and rather influential industry.
Industry in California is the agriculture, rather, is the biggest industry in California, almost $5 billion a year.
Have any of the large farmers whom you're conducting this boycott against, have any of them consented to recognize your efforts?
Oh, yes. We have 12 large growers, mostly wine, in other words, wine growers, people who raise grapes for wine, who have given the workers the right to recognition either by what we call a card check election. That is, we have authorization cards and we check those against their payroll and signatures and so forth, or by a secret ballot election. And incidentally, we've won every one of them. But in the Delano grape growers and the grape growers throughout the state now, they have consistently refused to even meet with us to discuss, to even establish the communication. We haven't had a meeting in the 38 months that we've been striking them. They have steadfastly refused to meet with us.
Now, the condition of the migrant farm worker, how many days a year does the average farm worker work?
In California, which is, I would say, where he can work the longest, I would say that in the grape industry, a resident worker, not a migratory worker, but a resident worker would average maybe 5.5 months' work. That's very high. Now, I'm not including here a very tiny minority of workers who may work year-round, but these are what they call a steady hand. But this is a very small number. And then the migrant worker would average something like a little less than maybe about less, I would say, than for around 90 days, possibly.
What do they do the rest of the time?
Well, they have two choices. One is to go back to their hometown where they came from and live as well as best as they can there. In many cases, this means welfare. Or they can continue migrating and trying to get a day's job here and a day's work back there and so forth, you know. But in most cases, it's a perpetual migration. They never stop. And then we also have the international migrant now, you know, who comes in from Mexico, migrates into the United States, and in through Texas, works for 2 or 3 months, and then returns back to Mexico.
Has the migrancy of workers from Mexico, has this weakened the strike in any way?
Well, definitely. This is one of the reasons why economically we haven't been able to get the employers to recognize the union. In other words, the whole question of strike breakers is not a problem to them. It's never been a problem because of the thousands of farm workers who live in Mexico and who are available at a moment's notice to come across the border and break strikes. You can't blame them. They're living in poverty, and even more so than our own workers in this country. But the employers have thought fit to take advantage of this to break a strike, and they've used that situation very successfully to prevent the workers from having their union.
Mr. Chavez, why did you fast for 25 days?
Well, primarily it was an individual, personal decision on my part. We have been on strike, as you know, for a very long time. I've come to realize that it's going to be a lifetime's job. I wanted to see if I could somehow prove or train myself spiritually to be able to cope with the problems that confront us, and then also I wanted to demonstrate to the opposition especially, and also to impress upon our membership that when we speak of nonviolence, we mean it, and we're willing to pay the price, which is a high price sometimes.
It's our understanding that the government offered you a large sum of money. How much did the government offer you, and did you accept the money?
This was through the War on Poverty, $267,000 for a migrant training program. We didn't accept the money. The money was turned down because we didn't want the opposition to accuse us of having to use federal money to fight them. I thought this wouldn't be fair. And secondly, we wanted to keep our independence. And thirdly, I think that I'm convinced that would have only been a very passing sort of assistance. The real help will come only when the workers are strong enough and the employers are willing to recognize that these workers have rights and they can build unions and then get on with the work of cooperating with one another to the workers to work and the employers to produce their trade.
You fasted for 25 days and you turned down $267,000, and you have been on strike now for over 3 years. Do you feel all of this has been worth it?
I think so. We've established some benchmarks. One is that we got the first union contract for farm workers in the United States. We shattered the myth that the farm workers could not get organized. That myth has been done away with. And more importantly, we have been able to build an awful lot of awareness throughout the country about the problems of the workers. And more beautifully, we've been able to do it in such a way that that it can't but bring due recognition to the workers because of their efforts, and especially because other patients, you know, in insane nonviolence for 38 months now.
Our conversation tonight is the migrant farm worker and the national table grape boycott. And our guest calling in from California is union organizer, Mr. Cesar Chavez. We will take calls from our night call listeners right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest farm union organizer, Cesar Chavez, after station identification. Call it a social pressure valve, the voice of the ghetto, the voice of disgust, the voice of hope. Call it what you will, it's the voice of the people. Night Call lets people talk, and experts on the phone anywhere in the country or in the world offer answers to some of the problems. Having a heart-to-heart squawk. At least it gets people talking, first about their problems and eventually to each other. Night Call has a potential cast of 200 million Americans, and we are now on 83 stations in 78 cities. It could just be the most important listening post on the air today because it starts people talking. A program you should listen to, a forum to speak for yourself. If we don't start talking to each other, we'll end up shouting. And there's no telling where we'll wind up after that. Night Call, every weeknight on this station. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself collect from anywhere in North America to union organizer Cesar Chavez about the migrant farm worker and the national table grape boycott. Call Night Call Collect from the East and Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
Tonight on Night Call, our conversation, the migrant farm workers and the national table grape boycott, and our guest calling in tonight from California, union organizer Mr. Cesar Chavez. We'll take our first call tonight from New York. Mrs. Saunders is hearing Night Call over WLIB-FM. Mrs. Saunders?
Yes, hello.
Good evening.
How are you, Mr.
Shields? Fine, thank you. Your question, ma'am.
Yes, I'd like to know, I'm a resident of the Harlem community, and there's a supermarket in the Harlem community that is selling California table grapes. And if it was a regular supermarket like the A&P or something like that, I could understand it. But it's a cooperative supermarket, you know, funded with stocks bought by the people of the Harlem community. And I think this is a shame because they're working against each other, you know, by then selling California table grapes. And I have complained to the management, and I've also complained to one of the members of the board of directors, and nothing has been done. And I want to know from Mr. Chavez, what action can I take? Because I think this is ridiculous in the black community to have this practice going on. And I want to know what I should do about it, what I could do about it.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes, that's a very, very good question, a beautiful question. I think that one of the things that this boycott is going to do before it's over, it's going to bring the Mexican-American minority, which is the second largest minority in the country, with the largest minority, the Negro. And I think what we're saying now is we're asking our black brothers throughout the country to help us. I would suggest that she get in touch with the New York office listed under the United Farm Workers Organizing Committee in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And contact Mrs. Dolores Huerta there,
mm-hmm.
and she can visit with her and tell her what some of the things we can do. But I'm very surprised that a co-op store would be carrying grapes, because that's where we had our best support. One visit to them in many of the areas throughout the country, they have taken the grapes off. But they have to, the managers have to see that the community really is with a boycott, and they'll respond to that.
Yeah.
But they won't respond to anything else.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, Mrs. Saunders. Thank you. This is Night Call in New York. The migrant farm workers and the national table grape boycott is our conversation tonight with Mr. Cesar Chavez calling in from California. This time out to Austin, Texas. Dr. Ott is hearing Night Call over KUT-FM. Dr. Ott?
Hello, Mr. Chavez?
Yes, Dr. Ott.
First of all, may I congratulate you on your efforts.
and heartily concur with what you're attempting to do.
Thank you.
My concern, of course, is principally in education. Now, I realize that what you're doing now and the stand you're taking and the actions represent a response to an immediate concern and a demand to ease economic burdens of our Mexican-American people, particularly and our farm workers. But my question is directed toward the next generation and generations hereafter. And may I ask you, what concern do you have for the education of the children of the migrant workers, and what is your position toward bilingual education, including the teaching of children in Spanish, their native tongue, as well as English?
I think that the underlying, some educators have disagreed with me, but I'm convinced that the underlying reason for the problem, first of all, is an economic reason. Men cannot get interested in art, cannot get interested in education, cannot get interested even in religion if he's hungry. And so what I say is that unless we solve the economic problem, unless we solve the economic problem, then it'd be very difficult. Oh?
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Very difficult to interest people, kids, children, who are poor, to motivate them into higher education. On your second part of the question regarding the bilingual education, I think it's a very good thing, and it should be done. And I think as time goes, the educators in our country will begin to realize that there's a wealth of to be discovered in bilingual education. And also, I think that our proximity to Mexico and Latin America, and as that part of the world becomes more important, it's going to be more profitable for our country to have Spanish-speaking people, Mexican-Americans who can read and write Spanish, because a lot of them can't do that now. They're deprived, you know, culturally deprived. And so I think it's a very good thing.
Thank you, Mr. Chavez, and it's interesting to hear your opinion. May I say also that we here in Austin and in our regional laboratory particularly are sponsoring a bilingual program, not only for our Mexican-American children who speak Spanish, but for our Anglo-English-speaking children who do not have the power and control of the beautiful language of Spanish, so that bilingual education will be for all of our children here, so that they can better communicate with each other and understand each other. And again, may I congratulate you on your efforts and give you all good wishes.
Thank you very much, Dr. Ott.
Thank you for calling, ma'am. Thank you. This is Night Call in New York, our conversation, the migrant farm workers and the National Table Grape Boycott, with our guest calling in from California, Mr. Cesar Chavez, and this time out to Louisville, Kentucky. Mr. Mole is hearing Night Call over WLRS-FM. Mr. Mole?
Yes, sir.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine.
Your question, sir?
I've been very interested in the Delano grape strike for some time. And I know that probably thousands of people have been involved in the strike. What I would like to do is to list seven people whom have been involved in the strike, and then to ask Mr. Chavez a question about them all collectively. The names of these people whom I will identify, Mr. Chavez, are Roscoe Proctor, who is the head of the Negro Commission of the California Communist Party, Mickey Lima, who's the chairman of the Northern California District of the Communist Party, Sam Kushner, who is feature writer of the Communist People's World, and Luis Valdez, who traveled in 1964 with the Progressive Labor Party and spent a month there with Castro in Cuba. Robert E. Dugan, a member of the National Committee of the Communist Party. Sirhan Sirhan, who is accused of assassinating Senator Robert Kennedy. And Wendy Geppel, who was a delegate to the 8th World Youth Festival held by the communists in Helsinki. My question is, as has been charged by the John Birch Society and probably by the police chief of Delano, Mr. Al Espinoza, that the California grape strike is a communist-led strike, and that the leaders of the strike are members of the Communist Party and their adjuncts. Is this true?
I don't know who Mr. Roscoe Proctor is. I don't think I've ever met him. Mr. Mickey Lima came to Delano. He was subpoenaed by the State Senate Agriculture Committee. He has no connection with us, since he denied this under oath. That's the first time I ever saw him. Sam Kushner is a reporter for the Communist paper, and he's written stories about the strike. I don't know who Duggan is. I don't know anything about Saran Saran. I know Luis Valdez, and I know Ms. Wendy Gopal. Luis Valdez is no longer with the strike. He is in charge of the Farm Workers Theater. He was with us and he for about a year and a half. I know he went to Cuba, but that doesn't make him a communist. Wendy Gopal is worked with us for a while, but she's not with us any longer, and she is working in the valley on health problems, and I've known her for 10 years.
Yeah, well, she's your speech writer, or has been, is that
no,
right?
No, that's not true.
Mr. Moll,
yes, Mr. Moll,
I would
the
like
other thing I wanted to ask you is, you said the chief of police in Delano had charged that our movement was a communist movement. Has he told you that? Is that in writing? Would you be willing to testify in case we, would you be willing to write me a letter?
Mr. Chavez,
write me a letter with that statement?
Mr. Chavez, yes. The source of my information is review of the news magazine, an article written in this week's issue, and the author is David Gumar, who had been in Delano and the other three cities in the area, and he also charged that agitators and poverty workers of SNCC and other organizations, this is the police chief of Delano, had been in Delano and had been agitating in this area.
Well,
and yes, I will write you a letter and put it in writing.
What is the name of the magazine that makes this charge?
Review of the News magazine.
Where is it published, sir?
Belmont, Massachusetts.
Would you send me a copy with a letter?
Well, you can get a copy from Belmont, Massachusetts, if you'll just write for the November 13th issue.
Is this a Birch publication?
This is a magazine, a weekly magazine, which is supported by the John Birch Society. And I personally think that the evidence in it is devastating to the California grape strike.
Well, it's
Mr.
Magazine.
Moll,
you know,
I would, Mr.
You know,
Chavez.
The John Birch Society is notorious for calling loyal Americans communists, like President Eisenhower and Supreme Court Chief Justice Warren, and you know, to mention two of the outstanding Republicans in our country.
Mr. Moll and Mr. Chavez, I would just like to add this for Mr. Moll's edification and possibly some other people who might be listening.
Yes, sir.
17 mayors of some of the largest cities across the country have supported the strike. 6 senators, including Mr. McCarthy, Mr. Govan, Mr. Williams, Mr. Javits, and Senator Kennedy, supporting the strike. Over 21 congressmen have supported the strike, and just about every major religious order of this country are supporting the strike.
Yes, sir. I'm very familiar with this, and I'm not surprised that any of these people or organizations would do this.
Well, we didn't want anybody to be misled that the strike is only, that the support of the strike is on one side.
Well, I still think that it is, despite the names that you've mentioned.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much for calling,
yes,
sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Good night.
This is Night Call in New York. We'll return to our guest, Mr. Cesar Chavez, following station identification.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Farm Union organizer Cesar Chavez after station identification. Next week on Night Call, a new left American revolutionary, a crime psychiatrist, a spokesman for the homosexuals of America, the black co-star of Mission Impossible, and a black television correspondent. Monday, co-founder Tom Hayden of the Students for a Democratic Society. Tuesday, Dr. James Brussel, the crime psychiatrist who helped solve the mysteries of the Mad Bomber, the Wiley murders, the Boston Strangler, and the Coppolino case. Wednesday, a mystery member of the Mattachine Society, an organization of American homosexuals. Thursday, actor Greg Morris of Mission Impossible. And Friday, Bob Teague of NBC News. All this next week on Night Call. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself collect from anywhere in North America to union organizer Cesar Chavez about the migrant farm worker and the national table grape boycott. Call Night Call Collect from the East and Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And welcome to the Night Call stations who join us for the second half hour tonight. The migrant farm workers and the national table grape boycott is our conversation, with our guest calling in from California, the union organizer, Mr. Cesar Chavez. We'll go out to Iowa City, Iowa. Mrs. Paradise is hearing Night Call over WSUI. Mrs. Paradise?
Hello.
Good morning.
Well, good evening.
Hello? All right, evening.
I wanted to ask Mr. Chavez what the outlook was with the new Congress for the change in the Labor Relations Act that would change it to include farm workers.
Would you state your question again, ma'am? We're having trouble hearing you.
Oh, I wanted to know what the outlook was with the new legislation, for a change in the Labor Relations Act that now excludes farm workers.
Is this, Mrs. Paradise, are you referring to California?
Pardon?
In California or nationally?
Nationally, Washington.
Yes. Well, I don't think that we have any better chance of getting that legislation through than we...
No?
It'll be more difficult this year, and I'm pretty sure that the incoming administration is not going to be friendly towards this type of legislation, so I look for at least four more years of non-coverage.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for calling, ma'am.
Thank you.
This is Night Call in New York. The migrant farm workers and the national table grape boycott is our conversation with our guest, Mr. Cesar Chavez, calling in from California. And for those of you who've just come our way, Mr. Chavez is calling in from an area where there is a severe storm, so we may have just a bit of trouble with distortion on his line, and we might lose him temporarily, so we hope that you'll stay with us. Remember, Night Call is your program, and we look to you for your comments as well as your conversations. If you're calling in from New York, it's 866-5010. That's 866-5010. If you're calling in from the East or the Midwest, it's area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. If you're calling from the West Coast, it's area code 212-749-3357. That's area code 212-749-3357. Remember, Night Call is your program, and what makes Night Call go are the nightly conversations we have with you. Out to Albuquerque, New Mexico, Mr. Quadis is hearing Night Call over KGGM. Mr. Quadis?
Hello, yes?
Good morning, sir. Your question.
Okay. This is Luis Quadis in Albuquerque, and I'd like to ask Mr. Chavez, how significant and effective are the endorsements, for example, from small groups in areas like Albuquerque? For example, there's a small group working here, and they have... obtained endorsements on the boycott from, let us say, the mayor of East Las Vegas and several groups such as the GI Forum and LULACs and so forth. However, as you well know, since we're so far away and detached from the movement itself, How significant do these things help the movement?
The most significant type of help that we're getting comes from the small people, which make up the small groups in small communities. What has to be understood is that the opposition is also in every community. For instance, the stores themselves, many times without having all of the information, will refuse to cooperate in the boycott, and they immediately take the grower's side without any investigation. So small groups and small communities are very, very good. I've heard of your group in Albuquerque and the work that it's doing, and I want to thank you very much for it.
You're welcome. Lots of luck.
Thanks. Thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you.
The migrant and farm workers and the National Table Grape Boycott. Our conversation tonight with Mr. Cesar Chavez, who's the union organizer calling in from California. And let's go out to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Mr. Anderson is hearing night call over WTMJ. Mr. Anderson?
Yes.
Good morning, sir.
How do you do?
Fine, thank you. Your question?
I've met Mr. Chavez. I don't know whether you remember me. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, Mr. Chavez, you remember our meeting in Delano? I brought Father Pashuk out there from Milwaukee.
I'm sorry, sir. I can't hear you.
Do you remember our meeting in Delano when I brought Father Louis Pashuk out there as my guest?
Did you hear Mr. Chavez?
No, I'm having difficulty hearing.
Mr. Anderson said he met you in Delano and he brought Father, is it Pashuk?
Pashuk,
in from Milwaukee.
Is he the gentleman that we met outside the my office in his car?
Yes, right.
Yes, he is, sir.
Oh, yes, I remember him, yes.
Mr. Anderson, if you speak up just a bit, we might be able to improve the volume.
All right. I probably should have called collect. Possibly you'd be able to hear me better. At any rate, Father Pashuk and I had just finished quite an extensive tour of the vineyards. It had taken quite some time, and we'd only seen one striker. Why is that, Mr. Chavez?
You just finished an extended tour of the vineyards. You only seen one striker?
Right.
We saw one striker out in front of one of the Jamara vineyards. We saw no other evidence of a strike.
Well,
Isn't this a popular movement?
Well, I think that one of the things that has to be clarified, first of all, is that undoubtedly you're biased towards the employers, and you demonstrated that when you came to Delano because you wouldn't come into my office.
No, I didn't want my
car to meet with you. And then let me answer your question,
Mr. Chavez.
I was just putting that in so that the audience will know why the question is coming that way.
Some of the underhanded.
Well, can I finish my question?
Would prevent me from wanting to meet with you face to face in any kind of compromising situation.
There was no compromise situation. We're Christian people.
There have been many.
Are welcome in our office, the opposition, anyone.
Yeah.
And may I continue now so I can answer your question?
Regardless, why didn't we...
Well, first of all, it's a complete falsehood that there's only one striker in Delano. Secondly, if you want to see them...
You're calling me a liar, is that right?
I think that if I were a bit more disrespectful, I would. But I'm not calling you a liar.
I see.
What I'm saying is that if you want to see the strikers, you've got to come to the union, because the strikers will not be seen
at the employer's office. It's kind of a peculiar thing when the only place you can see strikers is at a union office.
What I'm saying is that we'll take you where the strikers are, but you won't find them at the growers' offices, Mr. Anderson.
Oh.
Is that understood?
Where will I find them?
You won't find them at the growers' office. You'll find them picketing. You'll find them there in your own city. You want to see some strikers?
We don't grow any grapes
in Milwaukee.
We don't grow any grapes in Milwaukee.
We have five.
Wouldn't you think
five Delano strikers boycotting in Milwaukee right this moment? If you want to pick them,
Mr. Anderson, gentlemen, only one can speak at a time.
Well,
all right. Now
this is pretty typical of a student of Saul Alinsky, and I don't care to talk to him anymore.
Thank you for calling, sir. This is Night Call in New York. Our conversation tonight, the migrant farm workers and the National Table Grape Boycott. Our guest, union organizer Mr. Cesar Chavez, and we welcome your calls and we welcome your conversation. This time back to New York, Mr. Adams is hearing Night Call over WLIB-FM. Mr. Adams?
Yes.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Your question, sir.
Yes, Mr. Chavez.
Yes, sir.
You were there. Mr. Mole, the gentleman who called earlier from Kentucky, seemed to me obviously missed the point on the whole question by not pushing or focusing on the problem. And I wonder if you would... I have two questions to give sort of a factual background that you might give me. The first being if you could describe the basic situation of the grape-picking worker in California in terms of what kind of income he makes, his living conditions, whether he has to buy at co-op stores, and so on. And secondly, if you could give me some information on how it happens that workers are still coming in from Mexico to break the strike if, as I had understood it, the Bracero program had apparently been ended by Congress.
Yes, the first question, the wages are... in the Delano area, around $1.40 an hour now. They used to be $1.10, but when we brought the strike, the wages have gone up all over the state because of the pressure of the strike.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's around $1.40 now.
$1.40. Mm-hmm.
Now, for we have union contracts, it's $1.90 and upwards.
So it's still below the minimum wage.
They're not paying any attention to the minimum wage.
Right. Right.
What they're doing is they're claiming on one hand that workers make $2.50 an hour. On the other hand, this is the growers, on the other hand, they're fighting to the courts a minimum wage that went into effect last year for $1.65 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why they're making $2.50 an hour. The employers are fighting it so very hard in the courts, you know, mm-hmm. $1.65 state minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
Then on your second question regarding the importation of
Mexican workers.
Mm-hmm. See, I understand that the Bracero program is no longer in existence, but that program was very subtly supplemented throughout the last 10 years by what we call the green card program.
Uh-huh.
The people who are residents of Mexico, but who at the same time are residents of the United States.
Have permanent residence, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. But they only come across the border, and they, for instance, in our case in Delano, they will come in to break the strike for the 3 months picking season. The moment that they're through with that work, they go back to Mexico. We found out in tracing them back there that a lot of these people, over half of them, are employers themselves in Mexico.
Uh-huh. Are these people who got permanent residency in the United States before the Bracero program ended, or is the United States Immigration Service still admitting people green cards on a fairly easy basis for this purpose?
I think that the restrictions are a little bit more harsher now, but they're not that difficult. No, this came about beginning in 1950, 52, Braceros would come here. And then the first thing that they wanted from the employer was, how can I get my immigration so I can stay here and work with you and not be a bracero and have to go back after 6 months or after 90 days? And that's how it started.
Right.
And so the only thing that changed was the name of the program.
Uh-huh.
Instead of being the bracero program, now we call them green carders.
The number of people coming in is about the same from Mexico?
Well,
or is it lower?
No, it's even more. And then the other thing has to be considered is that a lot of illegals are coming in to break our strike.
Uh-huh.
And there isn't a darn thing we can do. We haven't been able to get the Immigration Service to enforce that. This is just the straight illegal entrant.
Yeah.
Commonly known as the wetback or, you know.
Right.
And so these two groups of people make it difficult to win the strike in Delano. That's why one of the other reasons why we have to boycott.
Yeah. Well, let me say how much I support you and thank you for your information.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Good night.
Mr. Chavez, Mr. Anderson from Milwaukee had mentioned Mr. Saul Alinsky, and this is not the first time that, I don't want to say an accusation, but this is not the first time that your name has been mentioned with some kind of relationship with Mr. Alinsky. What was your relationship with Mr. Alinsky?
First of all, may I say I'm very proud that I have this relationship with him. He was or is the director of the Industrial Areas Foundation, which worked and helped the Community Service Organization, a Spanish-speaking group in California, 15 years or so ago. And I worked with Mr. Alinsky for a number of years, attached to the CSO, helping that organization organize citizenship classes, voter registration, get out the vote, and citizen participation, including civil rights, police brutality, and so forth. And I worked with him till about 1958, I believe, for about 6 years. And then I've been in touch with him on and off.
Has Mr. Linsky been directly involved with the strike since it began?
No, he hasn't.
I see. Mr. Chavez, we'll return with more questions and more comments from our Night Call listeners right after station identification. This is the Night Call Network in New York. We'll return following station identification.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Farm Union organizer Cesar Chavez after station identification. Tomorrow night on Night Call, the draft. Just how does it work today, and should it be changed? With Selective Service Director, Lieutenant General Louis B. Hershey. The draft is rapidly replacing the weather as the thing everybody talks about, but nobody does anything about. But 28,000 more American youngsters will be called to serve in January, and the Vietnam peace talks have been postponed in Paris. So let's ask a few questions and get a few answers about just where does the potential draftee stand today from the man who should know, General Louis B. Hershey, who runs it. The draft, just how does it work today and should it be changed? With Selective Service Director, Lieutenant General Louis B. Hershey, tomorrow night on Night Call. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself collect from anywhere in North America to union organizer Cesar Chavez about the migrant farm worker and the national table grape boycott. Call Night Call Collect from the East and Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And we return to our guest, Mr. Cesar Chavez, calling in from California tonight as we continue our conversation on the migrant farm workers and the national table grape boycott. Out to Colfax, California we go. Mr. Ratcliffe is hearing Night Call over KERS-FM. Mr. Ratcliffe?
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Yes, Mr. Ratcliffe.
About 2 years ago, I supervised a group of migrants in Indiana who were at that time working on Christmas trees, and they came in under a contractor, and although the employer was paying them $1.50 an hour, they complained because their contractor would collect the $1.50 and then pay them 85 cents an hour.
That's very common.
And I am not familiar with the grape industry at all, but I was in contact with a lot of people who were working in that area, and this seemed to be quite a common practice among contractors when they would not pay their workers. Now, first of all, what does the union do to prevent contractors from doing this from the man they handle? And secondly, can the employer really stop a contractor from being unfair? Or if you strike him, how can an employer stop him?
What we do is we get complaints almost daily about this kind of problem with the employee and the middleman, or that is the labor contractor, and we process them through the labor commissioner in California. Or sometimes when we see fit, we go and we make a civil case out of it. We've been for a number of years trying to accumulate, we've accumulated information against various labor contractors. We tried to get the state to suspend their licenses or try to get legislation to make it difficult for these employers to continue these practices. And if they do that, then their license should be suspended, but we haven't been successful there. The most success we've had is when we take it on an individual case. Now, the employer, many times, doesn't know that this is happening. or many times doesn't care that it is happening, even though he may know that it is, because when an employer goes to a labor contractor, he's going for only one reason, that is that he needs help. He needs workers. The way that we eliminate that through the union is that we have a hiring hall. And when an employer under collective bargaining agreement with a union wants, needs workers, then we send the workers through the hiring hall. And this way we eliminate the middleman. And whatever, if the employer is paying $1.90 or $2 or $2.10, whatever the rate calls for in a particular contract, he gets that, no more, no less.
Isn't it rather difficult to handle on a state level the employers, rather the contractors, when many of them work between several states, especially in the Midwest?
We have a different problem in California than you have up in the Midwest and on to the East Coast. See, in California, the labor contractor, it's not what performs the same function as a crew leader does, but doesn't move that much across state lines. Or we may have some in California going to Oregon, as an example, or going to Washington, but very few. Most of them stay in their own general area. And this is because, you know, of course, the growing season is longer in California and so forth.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Mm-hmm.
This is Night Call in New York. The migrant farm workers and the National Table Grape Boycott is our conversation tonight with Mr. Cesar Chavez calling in from California. Out to Des Moines, Iowa, Mr. Massimore is hearing Night Call over KRNT. Mr. Massimore?
Yes, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Your question, sir?
Well, I'd like to... am I talking to Mr. Chavez?
He's on the line, sir.
Did I understand him to say that the grape pickers have been on strike for 38 months?
That's correct. I didn't get your name.
Massimore, M-A-S-I-M-O-R-E.
Massimore. I can't hear you very well, Mr. Massimore.
You're right.
Yes.
I asked you, and I think you answered the question, and did I understand you correctly, that the grape pickers have been on strike for 38 months?
That's correct. It'll be 38 months in a couple of days.
Mr. Chavez, I see all kinds of table grapes available here in Des Moines, for instance. Now, if these people are on strike, who is picking the grapes?
Well, Mr. Nassimore, this is the problem. This is why we've been out so long. See, the workers in agriculture are not covered by the National Labor Relations Act. There's no way in which a union can bring unfair labor practices against the employer. There's no way in which the union can protect an employee, a striker, from being discharged by the employer or being even blacklisted if he wants to. So what has happened is that although we took all of the original workers out of the field, the employer has not suffered for people, has not suffered for help. In other words, they've been able to get adequate help from Mexico to break the strike.
And this is why... What do you really feel?
Two reasons. One, we're not covered under the law to force the employer to have a recognition election, and secondly, and also to bargain in good faith. That's what the law would do if we were covered. And secondly, there is no way in which we can stop the inflow of strike breakers from Mexico. That's why we have to go under the boycott as an economic pressure against the employers to try and get them to negotiate with us.
Well, you said a boycott.
If we had the courage of the law, or if we could stop the influx of the Mexican strike breakers, then we'd be set. We would want to strike a long time ago.
Well, you said a boycott. Are you talking about some sort of secondary boycott?
No, a secondary boycott. See, for instance, in order to be a secondary boycott, we would have to be covered under the law.
Driver has to refuse to handle grapes, right?
Then it would become a secondary boycott. Yeah. But since we're not covered, see what the law says is it sets rules and regulations both for the employer and for the employees and their union. Both of them have limitations of what they can do and they cannot do and so forth. But in our case, we're not covered. So if we were covered, then the employers would be forced to have an election so that the workers could determine if they want the union or not and then settle the problem once and for all. They would also be forced to bargain collectively and bargain in good faith with us. But since we don't have the law, then the same law says that unions cannot engage in secondary boycotting. But that law doesn't apply to us, and that's the only avenue open. So we, when we ask stores to remove the grapes, or when we picket stores, we're not breaking any law.
But are you saying, Mr. Massimore, that you see a number of table grapes out in your area and you don't seem to feel that the boycott is effective?
No, none whatever. I can say that almost unequivocally that we can get whatever we want. Now, I'm not real sure about the price. I don't know. I'm not that familiar with it. The price might be up and I don't know it.
Well, all I can say is that it's a national disgrace, you know, that... remember every time that you eat grapes, especially that you can get them very cheap, which has been the case this year because of the boycott, those grapes were picked by people who are breaking a strike, but doing even more harm than that. They're frustrating the legal, the moral aspirations, legal aspirations of workers to form into a union to bargain with their employers.
Well, Mr. Chavez, let me ask you this.
If the workers are not given this right, then there's chaos. And what has prevented this from happen in other industries in the country is that the law is there. And if you're an employer, I don't know if you are one. If you are one, you are familiar. If you were a union man, you'd be familiar with this aspect too.
Well, let me ask you this. You say you're a union organizer. I certainly have no reason in the world to doubt that. As a matter of fact, I'm rather interested in what union is it that you are an organizer for.
Our union is the United Farm Workers Organizing Committee, AFL-CIO. We're an organizing committee of the AFL-CIO.
Which, of course, I am not now, but have been on at least two occasions, a card carrier in various unions, and certainly tend to be quite sympathetic with their cause. But what I don't understand, and maybe I'm too far removed geographically from the problem that you have, I don't understand how all the owners or the grape owners or whatever you want to call them resist all this pressure that you're throwing at them.
Mr. Chavez, we've just about run out of time. Mr. Massimore, thank you so much for calling. Thank you, sir. Mr. Chavez, we have just about 10 seconds. And we want to thank you so much for being with us. And we understand you have been a bit ill since your strike, since your fast. And we hope that your health is coming along.
Thank you very much. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you so much for being with us tonight. Tonight on Night Call, the migrant farm workers has been our conversation. Our guest has been Mr. Cesar Chavez. This is Del Shields in New York. Good night and peace.
Produced by the United Methodist Church, presented with National Council of Churches, National Catholic Office for Radio and Television, American Jewish Committee, and Urban Coalition.